Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 19th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. We're so close to 20. I set a goal at the start of the year to have 25 episodes this year, and when nothing happened for several weeks with lockdown, I got really worried that I wouldn't hit it, but maybe there's a good, I think there's a good chance. That's only six more episodes and there are at least, there's at least 6 weeks still to go in this year. Definitely at least 6 weeks still to go. Anyway, I'm going to get straight in with this one because, you know, my podcast interviews have been a bit long recently and a bit long-winded. But yeah, if you want to get in touch with the social media of this podcast, there's links in the description. But if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at FFTScene. That's FFTScene. Anyway, this is an interview with Echoist on Fresh From The Scene.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guest is the ever lovely Pete.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very, very good. I'm very excited to be doing my first interview as Echoist. My heart's beating fast in the best way. I'm excited to talk about it. Because my friends are sick of hearing about it. Because all I'm doing is talking about it because I'm so excited about it. So, like, to talk to you about it and to just, yeah, get this out, I'm very, very excited. So, yeah, I'm doing well.
Yeah. And obviously, you just mentioned as well, like, this is your first interview as Echoist. For the people who don't know, you know, what is Echoist? You know, in your own words, why should people pay attention to Echoist?
Without getting too deep, Echoist is me finding the voice that I didn't feel I had before. Or I didn't feel like I could use before. You know, we go through a lot of things in life. Everybody does. I wasn't sure how to channel all my stuff. I wasn't sure, like, what to say. I didn't know if I had anything to say. It was a big barrel of confusion. And throughout everything in my life, I finally got to a point where, you know, despite having always done music and always wanting to be a musician or a performer in some kind of way, I never felt as authentic as I do now. I never felt as real as I do now. All the Echoist songs, all the stuff I'm writing with it, the whole thing, the energy behind it, the meaning behind it, the passion behind it, the fire behind it, the thing that drives it is the passion and fire and everything that drives me. It's the same thing. It's a very symbiotic thing. And that's why I'm so excited about it. Because if you find something that's real and you feel like you're being pulled towards it, you have to follow it. You have to follow it and you have to see where it goes.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Obviously as well, like, it's a big change to the way that people have been used to hearing you sound. Like, obviously you sort of became known on YouTube as somewhat of a singer-songwriter as well as, like, you know, a vlogger and stuff. And then all of a sudden you drop what is essentially, like, you know, a post-hardcore new metal song. And, you know, how have people responded to that change?
I got a lot of texts asking if I was okay from friends, from viewers, because it was a big change. I was expecting it. I wasn't expecting quite the volume of messages that I got. But my answer to it all was, I'm the best I've ever been. And I mean that. I think it had to be a big change. It had to be. I wanted to make a statement. I wanted to, for the first time in my life, I wanted to put out there, this is who the fuck I am. This is it. Like, if you want to stay, that's the best thing. Like, and I'm like, if you want to be on this journey, that's amazing. But by the same token, if you want to leave, because this is the whole thing can be a bit like, this isn't what I signed up for. Like, I was here for, like, Disney songs. And, like, that is totally fine too. It's no skin off my nose, and, you know, people go in their different directions. But I felt like I had to make a statement of, this is me, this is real, this is authentic, this is what and who I am.
I really appreciated the whole smashing up jars of jam, like, to sort of signify the end of what was very much an era.
Yeah. I that's cool. I'm really glad you appreciate it, because it was really satisfying. I'm going to tell you that now. Taking a baseball bat to a load of jam. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen videos of, like, you know, it's for some people, it can be very like therapeutic and cathartic to like, you know, let anger out by smashing things up and stuff, or, you know, just not necessarily anger, just, you know, letting emotions out, because people end up bottling things up in this current, you know, day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's very important to, just as humans, let emotions out. And our responsibility is to not do it in a destructive way. It's a, like smashing things up, like me taking it to the jam, it was very cathartic, but, you know, it was also very controlled, and it was very like, it was set up and it was safe. Like us as people, we like, you know, negative energies like within us, and everybody has anger, fear, hurt, pain within them, and everybody has their own way of dealing with it. Some are healthier than others, and I think we have a responsibility as we grow up and as we experience life and as we learn these things, to learn to get it out and release it in a healthy way, in a way that just doesn't waste it, in a way that doesn't hurt anybody and can actually make a difference, like you may as well. And that's what I feel like I'm doing with this, with the smashing of the jam, with the songs I write with Equist, because it's heavy, it's screaming, it's like, it's the lyric writing is very a lot of it is very personal to me, and it's my way of getting rid of all the like the knots and the like the sinew and the horrible kind of stuff like within me that needs to come out, but it needs to be transmuted into like a good thing. Do you know what I mean? I need to be like a conduit for this negative energy, and it passes through me, has a little conversion process, and comes out in a way that hopefully can help other people and let other people know that they're not alone. But like, all I want to do is stand on a stage and scream to everybody there that it's okay to feel the pain that you're feeling, jump the fuck around, and let that shit out in a healthy way. I'm not going to stand on stage and go, do it in a healthy way, kids. This is the way to do it. But just to feel that with the people around you, because that was always what I had. I've been going to gigs and festivals since I was like 10 or 11. And it was always that I felt the energy of everyone and everything around me. And as I grew up, and like I was confused and I was hurt and I didn't know what to do and I was angry, if I went to a gig or I went to a festival, that energy could be let out in like a mosh pit or something like that, or just jumping around and dancing around, and the energy would come out of me. It wasn't bad, it was just being released, but being absorbed by everyone around me, and I was absorbing their energy. This all sounds a bit like, I know it sounds a bit like spiritual, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find a lot of people who don't feel that when they're jumping around in the middle of a crowd at a gig. You do feel something, you do feel something very organic, and you can leave feeling 100% better than you did before and 100% lighter than you did before. That's what I want to do. That's kind of all I want to do with this. I want to let people know that they're not fucking alone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. As someone that spends so much time of their life at gigs, like so many people will have like an outside view of, you know, like the rock scene and the alternative scene as being sort of like dangerous and stuff. But in all honesty, I've never felt in danger at like, you know, an alternative scene gig. Like, ironically, the most like scared I felt at a gig was during a Kings of Leon set, you know, and they're arguably just a pop rock band.
Interesting.
Yeah, being in a gig is such a safe space for people to, you know, deal with all that negative energy and stuff as well. And, you know, you, as you say, you feel lighter leaving the room. But yeah, is that definitely somewhere that you'd like to take Equist and like into live stuff as well, not just lyric videos on YouTube?
100%, Ruby. You have no idea. Because this was all supposed to happen before lockdown. Like I was supposed to kick this off a lot earlier, and then the whole thing happened. Like I had to change my way about it. I had, you know, like a lot of people have had to change their lives and their whole thing. And, you know, I was kind of blessed that I was in a transitional point anyway. I was in a better situation than a lot of people, and I acknowledge that. Maybe it did give me time to think. Maybe it gave me a little bit too much time to think. But Live was and is still definitely the intention, like 100%. It's where my head is always going. Every time I think about it, I'm like lying awake at night and I'm going, oh, it's going to be so cool. It's going to be so fucking cool. Like that's like the consistent thought in my head, because that's what I want it to be, and that's what I feel like it needs to be.
So let's talk about, you know, debut single, Speak, with a three. You know, you went all Avril Lavigne on us there.
She's my inspiration. She's my main inspiration, yeah.
It's a big risk, but, you know, I'm glad you took it. To quote that Avril Lavigne meme that goes around every time someone mentions Skater Boy. But yeah, like, tell me about, you know, like, writing Speak. Like, I've heard your demos from, like, you know, the previous, like, singer-songwritery stuff. Like, yep. What was different about it? Obviously, you wrote with Simon Loveridge, would I be correct?
Yeah. Oh, Simon's great. I'll talk about him in a minute. But, yes, very different from anything I've released or even hinted at releasing before. Like I was saying earlier, it's an outlet. Speak is about calling somebody out who has got away with manipulating, humiliating, controlling for so long. And every time they've tried to be accused of something, they've found a way of getting around it, or they've been really snidey and they've just managed to worm their way out of it. And Speak is about finally calling that person out. Like, you have nowhere to go. You have you are being called out, like, even from the first line, like, the lights are on you. You can't run anywhere. You can't be silent. You have, like, you're going to fucking say something. Like, what have you got to say for yourself? That's it. Have you got anything to say for yourself and your behavior? Because we're not taking your shit anymore. We're not dealing with it. We don't deserve to. You can't treat people like this. That's what Speak is about.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, like, you know, those kind of people do always need calling out as well. But, like, you know, the best way of, like, you know, illustrating that is, you know, I think this song, like, just the lyrics, you know, like, have you got something to say? Like, you know, you just come, you're just directly saying it to the person, just being like, what have you fucking done? Say it now.
Yeah. Are you gonna take responsibility for your actions? And a lot of people said, like, oh, is it like a political thing? And, like, because of, like, the time it came out. And it's interesting because I wrote it, like, before all the lockdown stuff, before the, like, the BLM protests, before a lot of the political and government stuff that was going on. But it happened to coincide with the same thing, and that wasn't my intention when I wrote it. However, it does seem to, like, it, you can apply it to this, to the same thing. Just being like, just take responsibility for your fucking actions and be a human and treat people decently.
Yeah, I was definitely one of the people that took it as being a bit more political, but I think that just reflects the current situation that we've got going on, really.
Yeah, because it's so intense, because it is everywhere you turn, it's especially if you spend your time online. And it's good that it's being spoken about, and it's good that it's here. But yeah, the song itself has a much broader meaning.
Yeah.
Or a much more general meaning of just, don't be an asshole to people, otherwise you will get called out. Like, this shit does come around and you won't get away with it forever.
Yeah. Like, I always think that songs in this particular sort of style as well always work best when people can, you know, like, they can see, like, it's unfortunate, but they can see it being, like, reflective of, you know, their own lives, like the people that are listening to it, which is, I think, with this sort of genre as well, like, that's what people latch on to. It's the reason why My Chemical Romance did so, you know, good, like, because people were seeing themselves in the lyrics, or at least seeing a reflection of themselves. Like, obviously, if, you know, you're seeing a reflection of yourself in Speak, there's maybe something that you need to have a conversation with yourself about.
Yeah, no, I think we've all been guilty of being arseholes in the past.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, we're human, and, like, you know, like, we can all take more accountability, we can all take responsibility, and it's, oh, man, it's okay to be wrong. Like, we're not perfect. A lot of people seem to have a problem with that, of, like, just never wanting to admit that they're wrong, and, like, it's fine, because as long as you can go, oh, fuck, yeah, I was, oh, shit, yeah, I was wrong, that's cool. Sorry. Let's learn from it. Like, how can I learn from this? How can I now make the situation better? How can I now make the rest of my life and everyone else I interact with better from this lesson that I've learned. You know what I mean? So it can work both ways, and you can take what you can take from it. But you're absolutely right about bands where people have connected to those lyrics. And when I was growing up, I didn't need love songs. I didn't need la la la. I didn't need happy, like, nice songs. They were great, and I did listen to them. But what I needed and what I connected to was people reaching down into their soul, bringing up a sludge and going, here it is, I feel this too. Let's feel this together. You're not alone. And that is, you know, that's saved my fucking life. And I feel like if I can do anything close to the same, then I'm good. Then I'm good. I've made everything I felt worth it.
We'll come back to Simon, as you know, we mentioned. But on that note, then, like, who are the people that, you know, have influenced, you know, musically? Like, who are the people that have influenced the sort of sound that you're going for then? Like, because when I listened to it, I got a little bit of, I think it's just the new metal aspect of it, but I got a bit of Limp Bizkit.
I'll take it. Yeah, there's definitely new metal aspects in there, and there's aspects of punk. The first album I ever listened to was The Clash, the self-titled. It was the self-titled Clash album. I was 6 years old, and I was jumping around my living room to it. Like, that was it. That was kind of my introduction to music, was The Clash. So punk is always going to be a really strong influence. It's just that energy, man. It's that raw energy that just hits you in the fucking face. And that's my main influence. And with Limp Bizkit as well, like the new Metal Attitude, that and Linkin Park, Slipknot, Korn, like all that, just, it's so fucking unapologetic. Mm. And just, like I said, hits you in the face, makes you want to jump up and down, but also says something and you can latch onto it and just go, fucking yes, mate, and just have a good time there. Like, it's anything like that that has sort of molded me and shaped me. But then also stuff that is like not particularly down that avenue, but anyone I've seen in kind of in pop culture, or anyone I've met that's in my life that I've ever seen that has been themselves quite unapologetically. The energy you get from hearing someone speak that is incredibly passionate about what they're talking about because they really love it and it's really authentic to them. You could be like so uninterested and in the actual subject itself, but you are gripped by that person talking about it because you can feel their energy and you can feel their passion. So everyone that I have met or seen or listened to that has spoken like that has inspired me in some kind of way to be like, fuck yeah, mean what you say. And like, don't chat bullshit. If you mean what you say and you're passionate about it, it's real. And that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you see a lot of like artists particularly like going for a different sound, like, and it's always shocking when it's going like, because you know how it goes, like, as an artist gets more popular, they end up having to go for a more glossy and poppy sound. But then, like, if an artist goes the other way and makes something that's a lot more rough and ragged but is like speaking true, I find like whilst they might lose an audience, they make a bond that's stronger with their audience because they're, you know, saying exactly what they mean.
That's, you have hit the nail on the head, Ruby. I don't even need to be here. You just absolutely knocked that one out of the park. Absolutely. Yes, could not have said it better myself.
So should we go back to Simon Loveridge then, working with
him? Yeah, let's go back to Simon. Oh, that man is an inspiration to me. He is really up there. He is the best musician I know in terms of writing and performing and how his mind works with the whole thing. So I met him because he was the brother of one of my friends in my friend group growing up. I actually saw him perform a band night at my school. It was the first like band night I ever went to. I was in like year seven and I was watching these bands on stage because he's a few years older than me. And in school, that's a lot. And I was watching him playing this band on stage. I was like, oh, that guy's so fucking cool, man. Oh my God. And then I became friends with his brother, not knowing there were brothers at the same at the time. Went round to his house and saw him there and like fangirled like a little, like just hella crazy fan. And I was like, oh, I started freaking out. I was like, he's so cool. And me and him became friends just through like video games and liking similar music and stuff like that, just because the more time I spent there. And then I actually started taking piano lessons from him. And then like, we just used to jam together. And for years now, like, we have been doing musical stuff together. We, like, back in, like, 7 years ago now, we did, like, a Lindsay Sterling cover together. We, like, entered a competition that she was doing where we just, like, metalled up a, like, one of her songs. And, yeah, we just always done stuff together. And we've always had that appreciation. And I used to just, like, sit and watch him play piano and just play music and stuff because I enjoyed how his mind worked. When I started to do this, when I started to create the concepts and whatever was going behind Echoist, the like the beginning of everything, he was always there when it came to thinking about the music itself, because he's got such a good way. And because we've been friends for so long, I can sort of go, oh, I've got this thing that kind of goes like, and then it goes, and he can just go, yep, that's fine. And he can like, we can work so well together on it. And to have someone else there just to have that energy bounce off, it's invaluable. He is, I'm gonna give him a little shout out as well. He does amazing video game metal covers as well. So if you just YouTube Simon Loveridge, like, you will have that and have a wealth of it. And you can appreciate his musical talent as much as I do. But that man is, to me, he's a genius. To me, he's a musical genius. He definitely wouldn't admit it himself, but to me, he's helped me more than he knows in terms of music.
The whole, you know, like doing the noises to represent the sound stuff. Like, I live with a music producer, and he's been working on a song with the band recently. And when they were trying to like come up with the melody, they were like, popcorn, chicken, flats in Dagenham. And it's like, there's all of this music producer speak that's not real. And it's like, you know, everyone knows it, but like, you feel silly doing it away from the music thing. Like, if you're not doing that when you're you know, like miming a bass or whatever, you know, and you just going bomb, bomb, bomb. But like, you know, with it, you're like, yeah, I'm a rock star.
It's a language. I swear to God, yeah. It's a language that people speak, and like, because you can get it, and it doesn't have to be like, you know, proper verbal words that we know. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have, like, because people know and people get it. And if you can hear that and you're on the same like musical wavelengths, it just works, dude. And that's why, like, not every collaboration works and not every thing works, because it's not supposed to, like, that. Yeah. That's all it is. And but then when you find the people that does work with, where you can just like make random sounds and they get it, it's invaluable. It really is. It's the best fucking thing.
It's like, if your mime drum is an 808, whereas you're wanting someone who's going for like, you know, more of a vintage kit, your collaboration's probably not going to work. But, you know, if you're both doing the same, you know, model, you know, of mouth sounds, you're onto a hit. You're onto a hit.
For sure. For sure. Absolutely. You're good at this. You know, you're switched on. I appreciate it.
I mean, I'd hope the music journalism degree counts for something, even if it's just a podcast, but.
For sure, man. It's interesting. Like, music journalism is not like something I pursued. However, it really does interest me. Like, I studied audio production at university, but then for my dissertation, instead of writing about production, I started writing about independent musicians and the future of everything, just because it really interested me. Because of, like, you know, I feel like you're similar to me in the fact that, like, we grew up online and in this world, and like, there's so much that has happened and is gonna happen in such a short amount of time. It's fascinating, especially in the scene that we're in. I mean, your podcast is called Fresh from the Scene, and like, that is, you know, means more than ever these days, I think, because it's like, fresh means is a lot, it's coming around a lot quicker than it ever did before, especially with like the rise of stuff like TikTok and, you know, YouTube and Twitter and streaming and all that kind of thing. Yeah, Fresh is very fast paced and moving now, and it's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Like on that topic as well, like, would you say that, you know, the social platforms that we've got, like, you know, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, even like the self-distributing services that let you get put on Spotify and Apple Music and stuff, would you say they're all working to allow people to operate, you know, as an independent artist so much easier, you know, these days?
100%. I mean, it's done exactly that for me. You can build your own thing now. I know people who have built like total musical empires and without any kind of help from a label, because they know what they're doing and they know how to market themselves. I think you do need a big knowledge of the whole thing. I'm definitely learning that, but I find it so exciting. I find it really exciting that that's a possibility and that's potential. That I think you need a good idea of business and marketing, and I think you need to really know who you are. And I think if you have that, then like there is all the potential and all the possibility for you to do it on your own. The tools are there. The tool shed is there. And it's just up to you to teach yourself how to use them all. At the start of lockdown, I decided to start streaming on Twitch as a way just to stay connected with people, and like built my own PC, which I didn't knew nothing about beforehand, but like taught myself how to do it because it was, I just found it interesting. Did it. And then built this like awesome community on Twitch, which I had no idea was going to happen, but has blown my mind with their like kindness and companionship with each other and support for each other. You get to build something yourself. It feels more authentic and it feels more real. I'm not saying it's the right way to do it, but I'm saying it's a very rewarding way to do it if you're building something for the right reasons and you're building a place and you're building a community. And like you can do the same thing on TikTok. Like TikToking, it does encourage individuality because you can just put whatever you like up there and people can respond to it. Like anything, there is like there are the trends and there are the things that become popular, but it's so easy to put your own spin on it, build up your own little community and build up your own little space. I think that's a beautiful thing. Yes, it's very fast paced.
Yeah.
That's the way the world's going, and that's what people are getting used to.
To me, like, it harkens back to, you know, what I would consider like the golden days of YouTube. It's been here for 15 years now, which
that's
makes
crazy.
Me,
every time I think about
it, it makes me
that.
Feel old because I was on it in 2008.
Were you? Oh wow, well, we were there at the same time.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's like, you know, during the golden era, which is what I would consider like 2009 to 2013, personally, like. Everyone was working as a community, which, you know, very much disappeared these days, I would consider. Everything was so creative. Like, I'm not saying it's not now, because there is definitely really creative individuals on YouTube. Like, you know, you see them every week, you know, making some fantastic content. But, like, it didn't need to be clinical. It didn't need to be clean. It didn't need to have, you know, nowadays we turn off a video if it doesn't have 1080p, whereas, like, back then it was like, if it was a good video, it didn't need to be in 480. You enjoyed it and you appreciated it and you shared it with every fucking person you knew.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember you've got very good takes on for sure. I remember I found out about YouTube through Bebo. Do you remember Bebo?
I remember Bebo. I never had it. But everyone in my school had it and were like, oh yeah, I pretended I was like 63 to get an account.
Yeah, but like Bebo had like, you could like embed YouTube videos on there and you could like choose from a list of videos to embed. And I found, that's how I found out about Panic at the Disco, is one of the videos you could choose was I Write Sins, the music video for I Write Sins. And that was how I found out about that whole thing. And I was like, whoa. But that's how I found out about YouTube in general, because I like there was all these like different videos. Like there was a dude playing Canon on guitar. I think there was like a Weezer video. There was just loads of like the old viral videos. I think Chocolate Rain was on there. All these like videos that you could choose from. And I was like, what is this?
And plenty of cats.
Plenty of cats. An abundance of cats. But you could Yeah, you could. It was just this website where you could just upload whatever you wanted. Oh, and Smosh, that was what I found out. It was the Pokemon theme tune. Yeah, from Smosh. That was like the big one where I was like, people are just creating random stuff and it's really entertaining. And that was, what, 2005, 2006, when it just came out. Yeah, I picked up on it in 2008, 2009 is when I started creating stuff. Just because I wanted to, and it was fun, and it was a fun way to express myself. And then, like you say, over time, it naturally got a bit more businessy, less community orientated, money came into it. All these kind of like, potentially detrimental things started rearing their heads. And over time, it's kind of gone that way. It's gotten a lot more business-like, which has its merits. But, you know, for me personally, when it comes at the sacrifice of authenticity and realness, you know, it's not always the best thing in the world. But like you say, now we've got things like Twitch and TikTok. Twitch especially, when I started doing Twitch, I was like, oh, this feels like old school YouTube. This feels like a lot of authenticity here. It doesn't always feel, there's always going to be some, but it didn't feel like people were there for the wrong reasons. Like, you always get trolls and stuff like that, and like people who are only in it for the money. But you get people on there, and you find people on there who are really want to like help other people grow and help other people build their communities and bring their communities and put them together, and they create new communities. That is, I see that happening all the time, and I've experienced it, and it's wonderful. And I haven't experienced that on YouTube for a long time. But, you know, that's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. It happens because then new things build. And it always excites me to see where the future is going, and, you know, where my place in it is going to be. And I feel like as long as I'm being authentic and I'm being true, I'll find my place in it, and hopefully people will respond to it.
Yeah, we were watching... me and my housemates, we were watching a studio diary from 2007, 2008 yesterday, and there was so many references to MySpace, and it was like, you know, 10, 12 years later, like, you know, who remembers MySpace other than people who were of our generation? Because it just came and went, and it's so unfortunate to see, because, like, it's one of those places where a community was built, and it allowed... You know, like, there's very much a rumor that Arctic Monkeys had a career because of MySpace. There are all of these, like, platforms that allow people to, you know, make their own, you know, brand awareness and stuff. Like, as we say, YouTube allowed loads of artists to have a music career. Twitch is allowing people to become, you know, known enough to then, like, migrate away from a platform and do something like, you know, personal speaking or whatever.
Yeah, springboards.
Yeah, exactly. All of these platforms, it makes you wonder, like, in 30 years, is there going to be, like, you know, some sort of revival of another platform that, you know, is like, right, cool, here's some unknown person who is now about to become the next superstar. I think it's fantastic, and I'm excited for what technology allows people to do in the future, because, you know, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have even been able to run my own podcast just using, you know, stuff that I've got at home.
Yeah. It's amazing, and like honestly, like, kudos to you for doing this, because I was like checked out like the podcast beforehand, and the fact that you can do all this yourself, and like, because you're passionate about this, clearly, like, and the fact that you can do this and you can spread it out into the world, and it can reach people, and you can, you know, spread your message and the conversations you want to, and it's amazing that you can do it. So yeah, props to you, man. Cool. And I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I've hated, you know, lockdown, it's given me the opportunity. Like, I had to think of, you know, like, I can't be going to gigs and asking people, you know, like, oh yeah, let's do an interview before the gig, because gigs aren't happening. So, like, you know, I started just taking more chances with people to ask. But yeah, whilst I've still got you, you know, is there anything else you want to mention? Anything you want to plug?
Wow. This is the first time I've ever been able to, like... like, actually, like, plug anything of mine that I really, really want to, and I've got my, like, whole being behind. I just released my debut single. It's called Speak. And if you want to jump around to some cool, heavy shit and get some emotion out, feel free to stream it on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, all the good stuff. Also YouTube. That would be great. But also, I want to say thank you to you again for having me on here. Like, this is really cool. And the first interview I've done as Echoist. And I really appreciate you having me on and taking the time with me.
No, it's, but yeah, I'm guessing we're getting more music as well, because you don't seem like the kind of person that's going to be like, all right, cool, here's Speak. Bye.
Can you imagine like all this set up and then I'm just like, nah, that'll do. No, I've got songs ready and waiting to come out. It's just the logistics over lockdown of getting stuff done. And I'm trying everything I can to like get stuff out as quickly as I can, because not as quickly as I can, like for the sake of getting it out. For the first time, I'm more than happy taking my time with it, because I want to be proud of it and I want it to be real and I want it to send the best and most correct message possible. I'm not in the business of putting out crap for the sake of putting out crap. I want the shit I put out to be real and I want it to be good. But new music is definitely going to be happening, and it's because it's all I want to be doing, Ruby. It's all it's always at the forefront of my mind. It's always in my thoughts when I sleep and when I'm awake. So yeah, you can definitely count on new music coming real soon.
Yeah, and if people want to follow you as well, like, so that they know that this is coming and when it's coming, you know, where do they go to find you?
Most of the time, if you Google Echoist, you will find it all, but you can go to Twitter and Instagram is Echoist Official, and YouTube, if you just search Echoist on YouTube, you will find my heavy punky ass self.
But yeah, you know, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me, and yeah, good luck with the rest of it. You're building something really, really cool here.
I can't wait to see what you come up with next.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. As I said, there will be links in the description to everything that you need to move forwards. You know, if you want to go and find Pete as Echoist on any of the platforms, there will be links in the description. You can listen to his new song Speak, SP3AK. It's on YouTube, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music. Again, links in the description. If you did enjoy this podcast and you're listening to it on a platform that allows you to leave a review, aka Apple Podcasts, scroll down, leave a review. You wouldn't believe how much it actually helps out the podcast algorithm. And that's what you need in order to, you know, have a successful or even a positively algorithmic podcast. That's a weird phrase, positively algorithmic. Yeah. But as well, you know, like if you're listening to it on a platform that doesn't allow for that and you did enjoy it, the least you could do is share it on social media. If you want to tag me in it and you're on Twitter, at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or you can tag me at Rubes, RUUBEZ. I'm also on Instagram at Rubes001. Unfortunately, Rubes was taken and still is taken. I will never give up about that. But anyway, I will see you next time in another podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.